start over again. We can do that too. Outward appearance can be very deceiving. Everybody has Bible? Anyone who? Okay. I like that. Everybody has a Bible. Good thing. If we only go by the outward appearance, we can be in a lot of trouble, aren't we? Let me give you a quick example. One time I was in the, many years ago, I was at the Calvary Tucson. I was standing behind this couple of ladies. And I knew one person, her name is Sue. And next to her was a real young-looking gal. So during the greeting time, me and my big mouth said something I shouldn't say, it, but like, this must be your daughter. And the lady looked at me, and Sue looked at me with that frown between her eyebrows. It's like, as soon as I saw that frown, I thought, I'm dead. And she said, no, she's not my daughter, she's my friend. I thought, oh, God, just open the ground and swallow me. See, I thought she was looked so young and, you know, daughter. I was trying to be nice. There is my 8.5 size shoes went into my mouth. And I thought, why am I ahead and why don't I just run instead of just hanging around saying more and getting more trouble? See, the appearance, outward appearance can be deceiving. You've been there. When we see people, we see what we see outside, not inside. We don't see the character. Who sees the character in us? God. There's a nothing. In God's sight, there's a nothing is hidden. God is omniscient God. For the last 4 weeks, we've been learning about the Saul and his mistake. First up with it, this guy was not listening to God. And there was a pride. Another issue was hanging around. So we learned a lot of things about this person, Saul. But we realized that somehow his sin is related with the sins we commit against the Lord. So even though we are learned from his mistake, his sins, but somewhat we realize this is a kind of rather depressing. Now, from the chapter 16, it's rather uplifting. We see a new man, king-elect, King David. So this David, he's Jesse's youngest son, giant slayer, a shepherd boy from the Bethlehem. Teenage king-elect, and the composer of many psalms, and Saul's personal musician, and Jonathan's closest friend. Wonderful guy. We're going to learn a lot about him. He rose from the hunted fugitive to the king of Israel. He was the champion of in the battlefield and down to aged and depressed monarch. He was strong in the battlefield, yet he was very weak at home. His home was a mess. Not only that, we find he was uniquely gifted, but he was human to the core. So what do we learn from this man? Because he has blood, he has bone, he has breath just like us. And he made a mistake just like us. But most of all, he had a heart after God's own heart. That is the one we're going to emphasize on. Yes, we're going to learn from his own mistake too. But the most important thing is, this is the man after God's own heart. Verse 1 of chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. Underline Bethlehemite, please. For I have provided myself a king. Underline, provide myself a king among his sons. I asked you on the line, Bethlehemite. Some you guys heard this it in the Bible? Ephraimite, Bethlehemite, Agagite, Termite, Ninelite, all of that stuff. Oh, we can call ourselves a Calvary Chapelite, you know, since there's all this it. What is this it about? When I thought about it, and I realized it's not only the tribes. There's 12 tribes in the Israeli people. Ephraim, Dan, all of those people. We heard the word Ephraimite, the tribe of. That means it's connect association of the Ephraim, tribe of Ephraim. Same time, also we notice that it sometimes goes down to the family. And sometimes it goes to one person who is a key person, ancestor, and the rest of them is the it, those people. Last week, we learned that there's a king, Agag, from Amalek. And also, he belonged to Amalekite. In other words, that's a tribe and that's a clan. So it can be tribe, it can be clan, it can be family. Also, it can be individual. Same time, we just learned that Jesse, the Bethlehemite. In other words, location, separate location. So they are trying to start from the tribe, clan, family, location, and individual. So he's trying to, what they're trying to do, they're trying to identify one particular person and with association with the family branch. Why didn't he say that, okay, Jesse is the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. Some of you guys know about Ruth and Boaz story, the lovely romantic story, especially, you can read that thing during the time of the Valentine's Day, it's so romantic. Ruth and Boaz, so we can call them Boazite. But instead of Boazite, it said that Jesse is the Bethlehemite. Why? In my opinion, God purposely used that. God does not use any word in the Bible without reason. This says Jesse the Bethlehemite is pointing to the one person. Jesus was called the son of David, correct? Instead of son of Abraham, or son of a follower of the Moses, the son of David. What the Bible trying to say is Jesse, David, and then down to Jesus Christ, and pointing where the Jesus was born, Bethlehem. All the New Old Testament is pointing to the New Testament. New Testament is fulfilling the Old Testament. So when you look at that kind of thing, it's rather interesting. By the way, if you don't agree with me, it's fine, you're wrong, but you'll come around. God never allowed his work to die because of one person. Samuel is mourning and groaning because Saul turned away from God. By the way, just for this side note, if you and I did something wrong in the past, let's not dwell on it. Time to move on. Let's learn from it. If something happened to you beyond your control, don't dwell on it. Time to move on. Do not feel guilty about it. God is not putting the blame on you. It is about God's move, and God's going to take care of them whatever is necessary. All right? So when God, if you dwell on the past, you're going to miss God's present move. Don't dwell on the past. Let's move on, all right? God will not let you dwell on the past. At the same time, he will not let his work go down the drain because one person is rejecting his command. I asked you on the line, for I have provided myself a king. It's an emphatical statement. God is saying, I rejected little idiot, so I'm not going to go for that man. I provide myself a king. With what? With a heart after his own heart. Verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer, underline heifer, with you, and say that I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then invite Jesse, to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you. You know, Bible is so real, it's so scary. I'm so glad that I don't have to live in the age when they still record the Bible and all these things. Can you imagine that somebody looking at my life and dissecting what kind of stupid mistake I made? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the one, like a Peter or Saul or David. Because I make enough mistake, I don't need somebody to remind me every time they do the Bible study. So, I know that. I don't need that kind of thing. We are finding that Samuel, even though he's a man of God, there's one mistake he made. This is the mistake. He was fearful of Saul. Throughout the entire life, there's three people in the Bible whom I adore. One, other than Jesus Christ, is Joseph from Genesis. He was a little bratty kid when he was a teenager, but the rest of the time, he was an awesome man. Samuel, wonderful man, except this portion, he was fearful. There's one person whom I cannot find anything bad about, Daniel. He's my hero. Now, Samuel was not supposed to be fearful, but the king Saul was so bad, and he was heading to the pit every day and realized I might be in trouble. God, who is so gracious, so merciful, instead of whacking the side of Samuel's head, he said, you know what, you're afraid. Okay, here's the reason. Here's the reason I would like for you can go to Bethlehem to meet Jesse. Take a heifer with you. I asked you to underline the heifer. What is a heifer? It's a cow. It's one way to say a cow. And there's a prophecy, some prophecy involved with the red heifer that they need for sacrifice. Some people talk big deal about it, talk about that thing and deal. I don't see a big deal. It's just a heifer. It's a cow. And without blemish. That's the only negative mention about Samuel. We go on to verse 4. Now we're going to find that man look and God sees. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons. Invite them to the sacrifice. Samuel's arrival was a small matter in the small hamlet like a Bethlehem outskirts of Jerusalem. Why? Because they just heard the news about this, what Samuel did. This guy hacked the king Agag in pieces. And the prophet of the nation is coming to their little town. And okay, who is going to be hacked by this guy? So they were kind of trembling, and I can understand why. Assuring his peaceful arrival, the intention of Samuel is calling everybody together for sacrifice. And God's going to reveal his choice of man during that time. Verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, this is the key theme verse of today's study. Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For men look at the outward appearance, but the Lord look at the heart. In other words, the Lord look at character, not how well-dressed, how good-looking that is. Samuel, he just went through the misery because the good-looking king, the people's choice. He went through the misery, but he hasn't learned yet, I guess, obviously. And there's a good-looking guy standing in front of me, Eliab. And so what? God must choose this guy. He's such a good-looking dude. You kick it, I kick it. That's good. Have you ever noticed that somebody dropping instead of trying to catch it with the hand, they kick it? Verse see it, we don't see the character. And Samuel is not learning the process. It is giving good lesson for us. How much do we need to learn from God? Realizing that outward appearance is not everything. We need to do what the Samuel did. He's waiting upon God and realizing, asking God to give him discernment. Discernment is a rather interesting thing. It's one of the gifts that we can receive from the Holy Spirit. Discernment is not something to do with the impression we receive from individual. It's the wisdom that reveals the character of that person. Some of you guys remember that know that I was involved with the prison ministry. During that 12 years of prison ministry, the Lord had to provide me the discernment because some of them come in with such a slick attitude. They can quote Bible verses better than I could, and they smell like a Christian, they look like a Christian, and all they try to do is shine me. In other words, they try to con me. Last 14 years in prison, and not prison, the Christian life, I learned a lot of people, just because they can quote verses, that doesn't mean anything. Do you know who can quote the Bible verses better than any of us? Satan. He can even quote it backward in Greek, if he wants to. Yet, does he know him? No. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing else. This doesn't, looking at inside, not only apply to individual, but also apply to the churches. Let me just say this in reminder for you. Just because one church has so many people, doesn't mean that pastor is right on the dot with God. If that's the case, Mormon Church is right on the dot with God. If that's the case, Mooney is right on the dot with God. Just because somebody, mass people is attending particular church doesn't mean anything. I've known many spiritual giants in Arizona, the Calvary Chapel pastors, my colleagues, my friends. They are more spiritual than somebody I heard or I know. And who are pastoring big humongous church around the country. So don't look at the church by size. And they are spiritual or not spiritual. And don't look at the people who are spiritual or not spiritual by how many Bible verses they can quote. Let's be careful how we judge. And we are not supposed to judge. Well, most of all, when we look at it, when we look at the other people, let's go by the character. And ask God to give you the discernment and wisdom. According to James, if anyone lacking in wisdom, simply ask him. He will give it to us. Verse 8, now we find that man forgets, but God remembers. Verse 8, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him the pastor before Samuel. That's the second son. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. So Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen this. I bet those guys felt real good. Oh, duh. We are rejected by God. See, world is full of idolatry. I made a statement and you say, yeah, somebody else, not me. Really? May I point out a few things? This world, especially America, is full of idolatry. Of outward appearance. If you don't agree with me, let's take a look at the fashion wall. Let's take a look at what kinds of eyeglasses we're wearing, what kinds of style of clothes we're wearing, a hairdo, or that infamous goatees some of people wearing. Mark McGuire started to wear the goatee, so everybody started to wear a goatee. And Mike, what's that guy's name? Jordan? Mike Jordan. He would shave his head because he didn't have a whole lot of hair, so he shaved his head. Charles Barkley shaved his head, and now everybody had to shave their head. That's the in thing. Nothing wrong with following anything, but just because we want to identify with somebody, sometimes if we are not careful, I'm not saying all fashion, following the fashion is wrong. I'm not asking you to walk around with a hat and a gunny sack. But do not idolize a person or group of people. Hollywood is making a living on that thing. And celebrities are making a living on that thing. You know the word idol? We use the word doll. That word doll comes from idol, and idol is not idolatry. When we start to idolize a person, like an American Idol, the program, they're so big deal about it, we're literally idolizing them. We tend to idolize people more than God. Should we have any other idol in our heart other than God? No, we should not. So let's be careful how we follow the other people's style. Don't let that thing get into your heart more than God. Now, we just found out that the parade of Jesse's seven sons. And then but God still said there's some, none of them is chosen. That puzzled Samuel. So, is that all you have? And we find that verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, all the young men here? And he said, there remain yet the youngest, not even mention the name. There he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him in. And for we will not sit down until he comes here. Jesse's, oh yeah, I forgot attitude. This is his son, the youngest one. Obviously, Jesse is now appreciating all of his son equally. Mom and Dad, listen to me, please. You have your favorite, if you have more than one. Please do not treat them differently unless you want to strap in your home. You may think it's no big deal, but it is a big deal to that kid, the one who is not loved. You might have a kid who is like acting like an angel and polishing his halo and sitting quietly, listening at the first command. And there's another kid sharpening his horn on his head and tearing the house apart like a cyclone hit your home. You know what I'm talking about. I had one like that. I have two stepdaughters, one between me and Karen. I had one like that. It would be nice if my daughter, stepdaughter, hear this message. She'll know who I'm talking about. There's always one cause problem, but do not treat the kid different. Because you may not remember, but the kid will remember when they grow up. Besides, that kid might put you in a nursing home. Bad one. If Samuel was from North Carolina, instead of saying, send and bring him in, he would say, fetch that boy, right? I thought that was a rather neat way to say it, people from North Carolina. Verse 12. So he sent and brought him in, and he ruddy and bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Jesse didn't much think much about his youngest one, so he didn't even bother to bring him in the presence of a prophet. But God saw that young man's heart after his own heart. By the way, number 8, some of you guys are very interesting about this kind of side story in the Bible. Like number 40 is about what? Trials. Number 3 is perfection, like number 7. And number 6 is a human, and number 7 also representing divinity. Number 8, interestingly, represent new beginning. So this is the 8th son of Jesse, King David is, and he is a new beginning. This is often how God chooses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, write it down and you can take a look at it later. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the foolish things of the world to shame the that are mighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God does not use somebody who is capable, somebody who is all-knowing, or doctors, so on. But God uses somebody who is not quite there in human eyes to shame those who are wise in the world's sight. And then when God used that kind of person, people can tell, this is not done by human being, this is done by God. And God gets the glory. So we're finding the anointing of God's choice in verse 13. The Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Imagine David's surprise. One moment he was swatting the flies in the shepherd's field, and next moment all is running down his cheek and his beard. And according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, in Integrity of the Jews, his book, it said Samuel whispered into his little boy's ear, "You will be the next king of Israel." Nobody heard. God's man, nobody noticed. Anointing with the oil for the person doesn't mean anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's just symbolism. Symbolism happens in a different way. For David, Samuel anointed him with oil. For Jesus, in Matthew chapter 3, 16, and when he came out from the Jordan River after he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove appeared from the heaven. That's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, anointing. And when disciples had the anointing from the Holy Spirit, it happened with a fire from on top of their heads. That's a symbolism of anointing. So it's many different ways. It has nothing to do with our own style. Let's not try to put the God in the pattern or the formula. God never follows up our formula or pattern. After the anointing, what King David did? Did he go try all the different designer crowns? No, he did not. He didn't polish his V8 chariot either. He simply went back to where? Shepherd's field, waiting upon God. Let's make a few applications from this. Application number one. God's solutions are often strange and simple. God's solutions are strange and simple, often. So let's be open. Be open. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thought is not your thought, nor are your ways my ways. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my ways higher than yours, my thought higher than yours thought." We cannot measure God's way with the way we think. Second application, God's method for selecting His own people to use in the kingdom of God is much different than our own. So let's be available. God's choice for David to show that we don't have a formula and we don't have to quit our daytime job and go into full-time ministry just to be used by God or to be the man after God's own heart. Do you know how to be a man after God's own heart? Number one, get into word. Number two, pray, seek His will. Number three, the most important, be obedient. When we be obedient to God's word, and we'll be like Jesus Christ. When we become like Jesus Christ, we'll have a heart after God's own heart. Simple. Hard to do. Do I do it? Do I look like I'm doing all the time? No. If that's the case, I wouldn't be here. I'll be dead in heaven. It's hard to do it because we have to ignore our own desire. But being obedient is very important. Disobedient, as we learned from last week, disobedient is like witchcraft and the sin of a rebellion. God would not put up with that. Third application. Just because God is using us, that doesn't mean we can run wild with a new status. Let's be calm. So first one is, let's be open. Second one, let's be available so we can be used by God. And third thing is, let's be calm. And once God starts to use us, remember that it's not by our power. It's not because we have such a good-looking stature or because we have a charismatic attitude. It's because God's power. It has everything to do with Him, nothing to do with God, nothing to do with us. All right? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we receive your word. Help us to be open. Help us to be available. Help us to be calm when you call us. It is not about us. It is all about Jesus. While your head's bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you this.